Tithe and offering. Who needs an envelope? John 15, verses 1 through 18. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. So Jesus says, I am the vine. And if you want to grow and you want to prosper, then you must, not maybe, not, well, if you feel like it, must abide in the vine. If you're going to be part of the kingdom, you have to be attached to the king. You can't say, I'm in a kingdom, and that then not obey the one that's in charge. You can't say that you're an American and that you believe in America and then totally reject the Constitution of the United States and the lawmakers and everything that's there. You can't do it. If you reject it, then you're no longer an American in your heart. Same thing with the kingdom. If you're not abiding in Jesus, it says that we're like branches to him. He's the vine. The trunk, the vine, the main conduit of sustenance. And he says we have to be connected to him. How does a branch connect to a vine? It sticks. It is vitally connected. It doesn't remove itself. It is so stuck that it becomes part of that. You know, if you graft something in to a plant, it becomes a vital part of it. It's no longer separated. It is connected together as if it's one. And he's saying that if we're going to be part of what he wants, then we need to be connected as if we are one. That means we don't have, there are certain things we don't have a choice on. Being connected to him is not, it's not a choice. You have to be. If you want to be in him, if you want to be part of his kingdom, if you want to be his disciple, then you have to be connected to him. But the great thing is that he said that if we are connected in him, if you abide in me, if we're connected, if we abide in him, and his words abide in us, right? Then we will ask of the Father, and it will be done. So, I mean, there's a benefit there. That we have this privilege of being blessed by God because we abide with him. Because we've chosen to connect ourselves. So if you're not connected, get connected. If you're not abiding in him, and his words aren't abiding in you, get connected. Let his words abide in you. Let him become that vital force of life to you, where you can't go without being with him, where you need to have that connection with him day by day, moment by moment, instant by instant. You know, it's just like, God, I need life right now. It's just like you walk another few steps and go, God, I need life now. It's like that's what he's talking about, abiding, constantly flowing. Being in. And if we do that, then we will be blessed. But there was a condition to the blessing, and that was abiding. Sometimes we're not blessed because we're not abiding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this mystery revealed to us, and that you have shown us that if we can abide in you, if we choose, if we make that choice, that we can ask of you and you will provide it. And we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to learn to abide in you. We want our lives to be intimately connected to what it is that you're doing, so that we are truly part of the vine. And we give you glory and honor today in Jesus' name. Amen. The life and times of Jesus, the life and ministry of Jesus, you know, the things that he taught, the things that he did. And so we're gonna be picking up here in Matthew 13, verse 24. And I'm gonna share some things that I've kind of been seeing this week and that God's been showing me. Another parable he put forth, saying to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and he sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced crops, then the tares also appeared. Also the servants of the owner came to him, saying, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' So he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest we gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the end of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in the bundles and burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn.'" What in the world does that mean? I just as I was reading it, the thought came to me. So he goes and sows good seed, and then the seeds begin to sprout, right? They didn't know what they had planted until it began to sprout. They had just put the seeds in the ground. And so then the workers come to him and say, "Didn't you plant good seed? Did you really plant good seed? Did you get these on the cheap, master?" And he says, "No, it was good seed. It was good seed. Trust me." But so here he is. He plants the seed, and it comes up, and there's all these wheats and tares now. And he's like, "Well, what do we do? Well, let's tear up the wheat. Let's tear up the tares, because, you know, they're not going to produce anything. They're going to start stealing from the wheat." And he says, "No, leave them. Lest you accidentally tear up some of the wheat. Let's leave them." But the question is, what do we mean? The Jesus explains what this passage means, this parable is, in 36. So if you jump down to verse 36, "Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angel. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out the angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Those who practice lawlessness will cease them to the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So Jesus is telling us that he is the one who's sowing the seeds, okay? I'm going to jump around a little bit here, so you're going to have to stick with me. There's three parables that talk about the sowing of the seeds, and they're all kind of in this area. They're in different different books of the Bible, different gospels, but they're all right around this time. Probably it could have been this same message, and each person is pulling out something that they remember. Oh, I remember when he talked about this. And it's like when you listen to a sermon. If I talk to each one of you after the sermon, all of you are going to have something different that you remember out of it. Oh, I remember when he said this. It's the same thing with the gospels. They're putting forward what the Holy Spirit has brought back to their remembrance and what impacted them. And so they're putting it down, and they're also trying to influence people, so they're putting down certain things that they know are going to influence the people that they're trying to reach. You know, Luke, Mark is written to the Jews. So if you read Mark, there's a lot of things that reference Jewish ideology and tradition, and it's just like he's trying to convince them, whereas the other ones are written to different groups of people, and John is really one written to the church. And as John, it was one of the latest gospels, and it was written to encourage the church about Christ, which is why it's the love gospel. It's really to encourage us. It's not really so much a evangelical gospel, but more of an encouraging gospel to remind us of who Jesus is and who he was. That was unnecessary, but all in this area, that's why I was saying in this area, there's all these different things that are happening and Jesus is talking about. So a couple weeks ago, I talked about the sower. The sower goes out to sow the word, right? The parable of the sower. And that's in Matthew 13, 1 and 9. It's the beginning of this chapter. And he goes out to sow the word. And he throws the seed out. And some goes by the wayside. Some falls on stony ground. Some falls on ground that's got weeds. And some falls on good ground. That's that parable. And so Jesus is talking about people. How they can receive or reject the kingdom. The truth. The sower goes out to sow the word. It's the sower. Who's the sower? In this, the sower is anyone who speaks the kingdom. So when you go out to sow the word, anyone who goes out and speaks about the kingdom, speaks about the truths of the kingdom, preaches Jesus, declares the goodness of God, these are the seeds that are being sown. And the seed is the truth of the kingdom. The sower is anyone who speaks. The seed is the truth of the kingdom. The goodness of God, that God is faithful, that God heals, that God loves, that God is concerned about people, that he came and died to set us free. All of these are seeds about the kingdom. What's the ground? The ground is the hearts of men, your heart. So it's talking about, and then there's different kinds of ground. There's stony ground. There's by the wayside, compacted ground that's not good for anything. And then you've got ones that have weeds in them, and then you got good ground. And there's the different types of ground. And so as we go around in life, we throw out seed, and people react to it based on where their heart is. So we have that, where it's talking about our hearts. It's talking about us receiving the kingdom as individuals. And then we have this one. What is this one talking about? About the wheats and the tares. It's talking about the sower. The sower is Jesus. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The Son of Man being Jesus. He's sowing. Jesus is sowing. What is he sowing? The sons of the kingdom. You. Those of us who believe in the kingdom, who are part of the kingdom, who abide in Jesus, who have received him as their Lord and Savior, he is planting the sons of the kingdom. Well, where is he planting? The world. The ground is the world. So he's planting us in the world. Here's another illustration. So we have the word is seed. And now he's saying that we are the seed. And he's planting us in this world. But the devil is also planting seed in the world. He's planting the sons of the devil, which is an interesting concept if you begin to think about it. That there are those that are totally sold out, because if we're the seeds of the kingdom, and we're seeds of the kingdom because we're his disciples, and we're abiding in him, how are they the sons of the devil? That they're abiding in him. And they're getting their vital force from him. And there are those that are sons of the devil. And they are be planted. So we've got wheat and we've got tares. And the servants come and say, "Whoa, do we rip them out, get rid of them?" And he says, "No, don't do that. Lest we destroy the good wheat with the bad, the tares." It's like, you ever wonder, God, why don't you just take them out? He doesn't want to destroy the believers in the process. You know, because we're all growing in this world together. And it's just like when you've got weeds and tares growing next to one another, what happens is their roots begin to mesh. You can't pull out one without destroying the roots of the other. And in this life, as we live our lives and as we grow in life, our roots are where we grow, where we live, where we reside. Our roots are intermixed with those in the world and those that are of the devil. You can't separate yourself from them. I know a lot of times we might try, but the reality is we can't. We have to realize that we are a different plant than them. We are different. That maybe they're stealing some of our sustenance, but we are the superior plant to them because we're producers. They're just consumers, but we're producers. And we're planted in this world, and God's not doing anything. He's not bringing judgment yet because he wants to have the most full harvest he can get. I mean, you could say, well, maybe you got a little bit of weeds over here in this area. You're like, yeah, rip them out. I don't want it to infest the whole field. You know, and you're willing to sacrifice that chunk of the field because you'd have to. But God is saying, you know what? I'm not willing to sacrifice any. We'll let them grow. God, why do you put up with it? Why do you allow these people to do that? God, why do you allow evil people to have their way in the world? I still want to make some comments here, but I will refrain. about you know, some political individuals. Why do you allow these people to live? Because he's wanting the fullest harvest. He's wanting the fullest harvest. And he's waiting. If he begins to bring judgment, then he has to bring full judgment. He can't judge in part. And this is not the time of judgment. This is the time of grace. This is the time of Jesus Christ, the time of the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which God forgives the sins of all mankind, even politicians. I know it's hard to believe. But God will even forgive politicians. He'll forgive actors. I mean, if he can forgive a murderer, he can forgive an actor. He can forgive a politician. He can forgive anyone. But we live in this world, and we're part of this world. And we have to understand that we need to not be afraid of what the world is doing, and just grow. Just grow. We sometimes get into this idea of things that we need to change the field. That we need to change the way that the field is taken care of, and who's in charge of the field, and who decides who gets more water and who gets less water or more fertilizer or less fertilizer, and how all this is delegated and orchestrated and administrated, when all we need to do is just grow. We just grow. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter who's in charge of the field, because God will make sure that we get water. He'll make sure that we get fed. He'll make sure that we're provided for because we're his. And that means that others will be blessed because they're next to us, even if they are a tear. And the other one is this, the mustard seed. And that's in Mark 4. So turn over to Mark 4. Mark 4 and verse 30. Then he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the other seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And he's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like this mustard seed. So let's stick with it. Who is sowing? Who sows? In this parable, who sows? You sow. You're sowing. The seed is the kingdom, and the field is your life. So you sow the kingdom in your life. The first one, somebody, the sower sows the word, and it goes out and they sow the word. You know, you haven't heard of the gospel before. You haven't heard of Jesus Christ, and they sow the kingdom. You hear it. You receive it. And you begin to grow. And then Jesus takes us and he sows us in the world. You know, and when he sows us in the world, that means he puts us someplace. You know, when you sow the seed, you put it in a field. You say, "I want this seed to grow here. And I want this seed to grow here." No? God has planted you somewhere. And so God has planted you somewhere so that you might grow. And this one, you sow the kingdom in your own life. Because it's the smallest seed. It says the kingdom is the seed. The kingdom. And we sow it in our heart. There's all kinds of seeds in the world. Watermelon seeds, apple seeds. Pumpkin seeds. But he says, this is the smallest seed. This is one of the smallest seeds. But when it grows into this great tree. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Though it may seem small and insignificant, though it may seem like ridiculously unimportant and easy to lose, that once you sow it, it will become the greatest. It will. Because he's making an illustration. He's saying, once you plant it, it grows and it becomes the greatest of all the herbs. But it's a choice that we make. We plant it in our hearts and we cultivate it and it grows and it becomes this huge thing so that the birds of the air may even nest in it. It's saying that we'll not only provide for, you know, those things that are around us, but even those things that go by, you know, birds flitter by. They just come and then they go. They eat a little here and then they travel on. And so like we'll have so much that we can, even those flighty individuals can get a little bit of sustenance. They come and then they go. You know, you see them, they come in and they sit for a day or two and then they go. But we can bless them. And it's about the kingdom. It's just like the kingdom. We think that we are so small and insignificant a lot of times. But we have within us the mighty potential of the kingdom of heaven, which is a potential that outstrips everything that this world has to offer. It is the very potential of creation itself. You know what? The devil cannot create anything. The devil cannot create anything. He only manipulates what already is here. God is the only one that can create new things. And that power resides in us. That power... That power is what changes the world around us. That is what we're looking for. If you want to see change, It starts where you're at. And then you grow, and then you affect what's around you. And then that grows, and that affects what's around them. And pretty soon we're affecting the entire area with seeds of the kingdom. It's going everywhere. It's like cottonwood trees. You ever seen an area where there's a lot of cottonwood trees? It's like when they bring forth their seed, it's just everywhere. It's just flowing through the air. We need to be like that. The last parable I want to share with you is about growing, the growing of the seed, which is Mark 4:26. So move up a couple of verses to verse 26 and Mark 4. The kingdom of God, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep at night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. We plant the seeds. There's a couple of illustrations here. One, it talks about growth. Growth takes time. You plant a seed, it takes time to mature. A plant needs to grow before it creates fruit. So when you come into the kingdom, don't expect to have fruit tomorrow. It takes time. And you continue to cultivate the things of the kingdom, but they will produce. They will produce. It's like I said with the tithe message, that we need to be connected to the vine. If we're not connected to the vine, then we dry up and we wither away. It says, the kingdom of God is man who scatters the seed on, and he sleeps at night and rises by day, but he does not understand. He doesn't understand how it grows. When we scatter the word out in the world, when we throw out seed, we don't understand how it grows. All we're doing is putting the seed out there. We're sowing the seed, as in the parable of the sower, casting it on the ground. And it's some is on the wayside, some is on stony ground, some is on weeds, and the other is in good ground. But we don't know which. We're just out there throwing the seed. And we have to wait, and we have to trust, and we have to rely on. We know that it's good seed. We know it's good seed. But then we just trust that the earth does what it's supposed to do. That the seed will either take or it won't take. But we go out and we sow the seed. Because that's what God's called us to do. You know, if you're a plant and you're called to grow, you grow and you produce seed, then what do you do with the seed? If you don't get harvested, then the seed falls to the ground and it repopulates. And that's what we've been doing for 2,000 years. The kingdom of God has been doing this one thing. It's been growing and shedding seeds, and growing and shedding seeds, and growing and shedding seeds. And the owner isn't ready to take the harvest yet because he doesn't feel that it's full enough, that there isn't enough yet. He's waiting. He's waiting for that moment when it is a full harvest. And then the harvest will come. I won't stir up too much right now. But I will make a point that when he's talking about the wheats and the tares, he says that when the harvest comes, he said, go and gather the tares and throw them in the fire. And the tares are the sons of the enemy. He says, then our righteousness will shine. I'll just throw that out there. Do with it as you wish. Some seed for you. Let it grow. You know, in Mark 4, 21 and 21 through 25 is about the light. It says, well, you don't get a light and then put it under a basket. Or you don't take a light and put it underneath your bed. But you put it on the lampstand so everybody can see. And this is in the midst of all of what he's talking about. We are who we are. We are who we are. Let's not try to pretend to be something else. We are the wheat. We are the plants of the kingdom of heaven. We are the wheat of God. We are not tares. We are providers, producers. We produce life. When somebody comes to us, we should have love to spare. We should have peace to spare. We should have compassion and kindness to spare. Because that's the fruit. That's what we're producing. And when we produce that, you know, something comes and takes that fruit and consumes it. They've taken the seed. And they can take it and they can plant it. They can plant it in their own gardens if they so choose. Or they could be refreshed and wander on their way, and maybe they'll find another plant. And at some point, we're hoping that they will take the seed and put it in their own life. It's like we don't always understand why. We just need to be. We are. We are those producers of God bringing seed to the world. You're abiding in the vine. That means you have life. And you have access to all of this. Abide in him and he will abide in you. You will grow. We don't understand why. We don't understand necessarily how, but we will grow. Abide in him. Abide in him. Well, how is that going to produce life? Stop trying to figure it out and just do it. Well, what does that mean to abide in him? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. Give me a minute to figure out how to answer that. To abide is to be connected to, right? It means you think of it as a branch growing in a plant, and that sap is flowing from the vine into the branch, and this is what gives it life. That which flows through Jesus flows into us, out to the ends, and then it flows back, and it's a cycle. It's constantly renewing. Jesus is flowing through us and we're constantly coming back to Jesus. It's like he is our source. We consider him and think of him and set our lives in motion according to his life. Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see my Father do. In the same way, he's showing us, listen, you do what you see me do. What do we see him doing? Well, we have the scriptures that those that have seen him and known him, that gives testimony of what he did, what he said. And we can take from that and say, oh, that Jesus did this, I can do that. He behaved this way, I can behave that way. He had love and compassion. He overcame every obstacle, but he always had his eyes on God. He resisted the enemy. He resisted sin. He walked away from it. He chose to not let it have dominion in his life. He did it. And if we're abiding in him, that same life flows through us. And we can resist sin. And we can walk away from unrighteousness. And we can choose to let life flow through us. To abide in him is to keep our focus on him. To grow in the way he's going. And we let his words abide in us. Grow. 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 That's his word, grow. Grow in the kingdom. Be blessed, be prosperous, be fruitful, and multiply, and cover the face of the earth. Let the glory of the Lord be revealed all throughout the land.
that all may lift their voice and say, praise be the Son of the living God. So there's some stuff to think about this week, meditate on, ruminate, let that seed germinate inside of you, and be producers and not takers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truly life. Your word is peace. Your word is joy. And we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would quicken the word to us, that it would be planted in good ground in our heart, and that it would germinate and grow and produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Lord, help us to understand and know that we do not need to be afraid of the seeds that the enemy has planted in this world, but that we will grow and we will produce life and we will be a blessing in this world. And we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week and be blessed.